As positive as the magician archetype is, like all the other forms of the mature masculine energy potentials, it too has a shadow side. If ours is an age of the magician, then it is also an age of the bipolar shadow magician. We need only to think about the mushrooming problem of toxic wastes poisoning and blighting our planet's environment. It was the shadow magician that handed us, in the darkest days of World War II, not only the technology of the death camps, but also the doomsday weapon that still hangs over our heads. Mastery over nature is running amok, and with incalculable results that we are already beginning to feel. The active pole of the shadow magician is, in a special sense, a power shadow. A man under this shadow doesn't guide others as a magician does. He directs them in ways they cannot see. His interest is not in initiating others by graduated degrees, degrees that they can integrate and handle, into better, happier, and more fulfilled lives. Rather, the manipulator maneuvers people by withholding from them information they may need for their own well-being. The shadow magician is not only detached, then, he is also cruel. The man under the power of the manipulator not only hurts others with his cynical detachment from the world of human values and his subliminal technologies of manipulation, he also hurts himself. This is the man who thinks too much, who stands back from his life and never lives it. Whenever we are detached, unrelated, and withholding, when what we know could help others, whenever we use our knowledge as a weapon to belittle and control others or to bolster our status or wealth at others' expense, we are identified with the shadow magician as manipulator. We are doing black magic, damaging ourselves as well as those who could benefit from our wisdom. The passive pole of the magician's shadow is what we are calling the naive or innocent one. The innocent one is a carryover from childhood into adulthood of the passive pole of the precocious child's shadow, the dummy. The innocent one wants the power and status that traditionally come to the man who is a magician, at least in the societally sanctioned fields. But he doesn't want to take the responsibilities that belong to a true magician. He does not want to share and to teach. He does not want to be a steward of sacred space. He doesn't want to know himself, and he certainly doesn't want to make the great effort necessary to become skilled at containing and channeling power in constructive ways. He wants to learn just enough to derail those who are making worthwhile efforts. While he is protesting the innocence of his hidden power motives, the man possessed by the innocent one, too good to make any real efforts himself, blocks others and seeks their downfall. Whereas the trickster plays his tricks in part for the sake of revealing the truth, the innocent one hides the truth for the sake of achieving and maintaining his own precarious status. While the trickster aims at the necessary deflation of our grandiosity, the shadow magician, as both manipulator and innocent one, works at deflating us when such deflation is not only unnecessary, but harmful as well. The innocent one's underlying motivations come from envy of those who act, who live, who want to share. His detachment and his impressive behavior, his deflating remarks, his hostility toward questions, even his accumulated expertise are all designed to cover his real inner desolation and hide his actual lifelessness and irresponsibility from the world. The man possessed by the innocent one commits both sins of commission and sins of omission, but hides his hostile motives behind an impenetrable wall of feigned naivete. Such men are slippery and elusive. If we challenge their innocence, they will often react with a show of bewilderment. We may even feel ashamed of ourselves for having attributed base motives to them and conclude that we must be paranoid. But we will not be able to escape the uneasy feeling that we have been manipulated. And in that feeling, we will have detected the active pole of the magician's shadow behind the smokescreen of innocence. If we are possessed by the manipulator, we will be in the grip of the magician's power shadow. If we feel that we are out of touch with the magician in his fullness, we will be caught in the dishonest and denying passive pole of his shadow. In this case, we will not have much sense of our own inner structure, of our own calmness and clear-headedness. We won't have a sense of inner security, and we won't feel that we can trust our thinking processes. We won't be able to detach from our emotions and our problems. We're likely to experience inner chaos and to be vulnerable to outside pressures that will push and pull us in many different directions. We will act in a passive-aggressive way toward others, but claim to be innocent of any ill intentions. If we are accessing the magician appropriately, we will be adding to our professional and personal lives a dimension of clear-sightedness, of deep understanding and reflection about ourselves and others, and technical skill in our outer work and in our inner handling of psychological forces. As we access the magician, we need to regulate this energy with the other three archetypes of mature masculinity patterns. None of them, as we've suggested, works well alone. We need to mix with the magician the king's concern for generativity and generosity, the warrior's ability to act decisively and with courage, and the lover's deep and convinced connectedness to all things. We will then be using our knowledge, our containment, and our channeling of energy flows for human benefit, and perhaps for the enhancement of the whole planet.